Psalm 84 and the verse 10 is the verse that I want to leave with you this evening. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You will notice that there are two places in this text that are referred to. The first place, of course, is God's house. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. He also calls that place God's courts. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. It's the same place, under different names. The courts of God, the house of God, the enclosure where the people of God congregate, that place where he has put his name, that place where he dwells in the midst, that place to which he calls his redeemed people to gather and to congregate, the house of God, the courts of the Lord. It's the public place of worship that is referred to here. That public place of worship is prominent in this psalm. Verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. And then he thinks about the sparrow and the swallow. Perhaps he sees them in the tabernacle of God, and they've made a nest somewhere in the house of God, and he considers them as blessed. And he says concerning the people in verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. So that's one of the places that is referred to in our text. The house of God are his courts. But then there is another place that is referred to, and you will observe it in the text, the tents of wickedness. One house of God, but many tents of wickedness, many tents of wicked people, many tents of wicked pleasures, of wicked pursuits. On the one hand, the solitary house of God. On the other hand, the many tents of the ungodly. There's a choice. David has made his choice. For he says here, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. David has a preference. Seeing the house of God on the one hand and the tents of wickedness on the other hand, he knows what he prefers. It's always God's house. And that's really our subject tonight. The better preference. The better preference of the child of God. The better preference of the child of God. There are two things in the text that I want to consider with you. First of all, the believer's preference stated. The believer's preference stated. And then I want to consider the believer's preference superior than the wicked's preference. The believer's preference stated, first of all. The psalmist here states his preference. We see into his heart here. Isn't he really giving us a window into his heart? Isn't he letting us see how he feels about the Lord and about the house of God? Aren't we getting a picture here of his desire life? We can monitor his spiritual desire in these words. By his words, we can see the grace of God that has entered into his heart and entered into his life. We see here in his preference that he's a true believer. And you know, this text ought to be true of every one of us that are saints of God and every one of us that are believers. This ought to be a testimony of us all. And we all should be able to speak this before the Lord. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. We must attend to his words very carefully. You will observe, first of all, that he states his preference in a very general way. And then he gets a little bit more specific. He says generally, first of all, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. And that's a true statement. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. And the psalmist is very sincere in this statement. He's always sincere when he writes with the pen of inspiration, of course. But he's particularly earnest and sincere in this because, you see, he's addressing God. He's not just telling his fellow men, a day in God's courts is better than 1,000, but he's addressing the Lord. He's telling the Lord, he says, a day in thy courts, Lord, I can lift up my eyes with all sincerity, and with my heart open before thee, I can say unto thee, Lord, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. He's telling it to the Lord. And therefore he is most earnest and most sincere. One day, that's all. One day in God's courts, just one day with the Lord is better than 1,000. You will notice that nothing follows 1,000. We naturally would supply the word days. A day in thy court is better than 1,000 days. We would supply the word days. But the Holy Spirit doesn't. The word days is not found there. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. What's the psalmist saying here? Well, you can put in 1,000 whatever you like. You can put in a day in God's courts is better than 1,000 days. You could put in better than 1,000 weeks. You could put in even 1,000 months. Yes, you could put in the whole millennium of years. A day with God is better than 1,000 years. 1,000 years without him. 1,000 years in the tents of wickedness. It makes no odds what you put in. A day with God is better than 1,000 without him. And that's true, brethren and sisters. A day in God's house is better than 1,000 anywhere else. It's certainly better than 1,000 in the tents of sin and wickedness. Notice carefully how he says it. If he had said one day is as good as 1,000, that would have been a strong statement in itself, but he doesn't say that. He says one day is better. It's better. Better than 1,000. And that's true. In other words, he says, there's no comparison at all. One day, one short day, if it be a day with God, is better than an eternity without him. So he says that in a general kind of way, his love for God's house and his desire to be in the house of God and to have that Sabbath with the Lord. But the psalmist is not content with a general statement. He adds a more particular statement. He adds a more personal statement. He begins to put in the I and the my. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So he goes from the general to the personal. And you know, brothers and sisters, we should do that. We should never be content just to make bland theological statements. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. We should not be content with that. We should personalize the truth. We should become part of the truth. We should experience the truth in our own hearts. We should be able to put in I and me and my. And so the psalmist does, having told the Lord this general truth, he says, me, Lord, I would rather be a doorkeeper in your house than to abide and dwell and inhabit the tents of wickedness. He's giving a personal testimony here. You know, the psalmist knows he can't have both. And we know that too, brethren and sisters, don't we? We can't have both. He knows he cannot have a foot in each. He knows it's simply impossible. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. It's unthinkable to him that he should have a foot in the house of God and a foot in the tents of wickedness. He knows it's one or the other. We live in a day when things are obscured in the church. We live in a day when professing Christians, as it were, are trying to live with a foot in God's camp and a foot in the world's camp, a foot in the courts of God, and a foot in the tents of wickedness. But it can't be done. And David knows that, and he doesn't want to do that. He wants to be identified with the house of God, not associated with the tents of wickedness. He knows where his preference lies. I want you to notice how he puts his preference. He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Now, that's a very interesting statement, isn't it? He wants to be near the door. He's happy with a humble place in the house of God. It might be translated threshold. In fact, if you have a margin, it probably is the word that occurs in the margin of the text in verse 10. Yes, it is. So you'll see, I would choose rather to sit at the threshold, the humble place, the lowly place, the least prominent place, in a sense, not at the front, as it were, but just to get inside the door, just to get inside the house of God, just to be in it. I'm not looking advancement, I'm not looking promotion in it, but just to be in the humble place, just to see the Lord in his house, just to feel his presence. I'm satisfied with that. We should be humble in God's house and not promote ourselves, but be very glad with the threshold. Then the doorkeeper. Of course, the door would make us think of Christ, because there's only one way into the house of God. There's only one way into the courts of the Lord. There's only one way into fellowship with the Father. That's through Christ the door. And so he wants to be a doorkeeper. He wants to be near the door. He wants to be near Christ. He wants to see the Savior. He wants to be round about the feet of the Lord Jesus. Oh, he doesn't want to be far from the door. And that should be true of us all in the house of God. We want to be near Christ. We want to see the Savior. We want to have our ears bored to that door because we're servants of the Lord Jesus. I want to be a doorkeeper. I want to guard the Savior. I want to guard the gospel. I want to keep the purity of the doctrine of grace. I want to be a doorkeeper. I want that. I'd rather be that than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The grace of God has brought him to that place. That's his preference stated. And isn't that your preference, my fellow believer? Don't you love God's house? Don't you love the place wherein his honor dwells? Don't you love the Savior, the door? Don't you want to see him? Don't you want to be near him? Don't you want to have your ear bored to that door and be joined to that Savior and to follow that Lord? I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Now that word rather is a very important word, isn't it? The child of God is identified by that rather. How do you know a child of God? He has this rather in his heart. This is what makes a Christian. This is what sets him apart from all the rest. He has a rather of grace that has been implanted. The world want the things of the world. The world want the tents of wickedness. But the child of God has this rather. I had rather. If you have a rather in your heart, it's because the Lord has put it there. If you have a desire for the house of God tonight more than the pub, more than the dens of iniquity, you have a rather in your heart that's been put there by grace. You remember Moses had that rather in his heart, didn't he? He chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had a rather of grace planted in him that made him rather different. And so is every child of God got that rather. I had rather be his preference stated. But I want to consider secondly then this preference as superior to any other preference. The psalmist has stated his choice, men and women. Our next inquiry relates to the wisdom of that choice. Is it a good choice? Is he wise in this preference? Is he right? Is he right? After all, the psalmist is in a minority in making such a statement here. If you were to show this verse to the ungodly and to the wicked, they would disagree with the wisdom of such a statement. After all, the tents of wickedness are full, aren't they? The pubs are full, and the churches are empty, and there are few that are interested in the gospel, and there are few that are interested in the door of Christ. The wisdom of the world says the tents of wickedness are better. The wisdom of the world says the pleasures of sin are better. After all, those tents are full and they're bursting and they're overflowing and there's very, very many of them. So the world's wisdom says that the child of God is a fool. The tents of wickedness are bursting. The most part go with the world. And the Bible says that, doesn't it? Broad is the way, and many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be. There are few that have this testimony. There are few that see the wisdom of what the psalmist is saying. But it is a superior preference nonetheless. The wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world that leaves the courts of God empty and the tents of God full. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. David has made the superior choice. He's made a good choice. The Christian is one who has his eyes opened like David. The Christian is one who is wise in this preference. It is a superior preference. It is full of wisdom and it is true. Wherein lies the superiority of this preference? Well, let's consider several things. The superior preference is found in this. Superior persons have been chosen. It is, you see, not any old house that David has chosen. It's the house of God. He's chosen the Lord. He's chosen the house of God because it is God's house. He uses the personal pronoun there, the house of my God. I've chosen the Lord. I've made him my God. I'm in covenant with him. He is my Savior, Redeemer. And I'd rather be a day in his courts than the tents of wickedness. You see, it's a superior preference, isn't it? Because he's chosen a superior person. He's chosen the Lord. He's chosen God. The wicked don't. They don't even consider the Lord. They see no beauty in him to desire him. They reject the Savior and they prefer the wicked, the ungodly. They choose them over the Lord. It's a folly to prefer the wicked before the Lord. The psalmist has chosen the Lord. A day with God is better than a thousand with the wicked. You will see how he puts it there. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For, and he's given the reason why he's made this choice. He's given the reason why he feels this is a superior choice and a good choice. You see, a day with God and in his house with him is a good thing, because you see, the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. That word "for" in verse 11 shows the wisdom of his choice. He's chosen the Lord. But then the superior preference is seen in this, secondly. Not only because of the superiority of the persons that he's chosen, but also the superiority of the pleasures enjoyed. Why do the ungodly choose the tents of wickedness? What draws them to that? And the answer very simply is the pleasures of sin. It's the pleasures of those tents. They wouldn't be in those tents if there were not pleasures in them. Pleasures of sin. They're deceitful pleasures. They're damnable pleasures. They're foolish pleasures. But nevertheless, they do appeal to the flesh of ungodly men and women. And these tents of wickedness are full because of their pleasures. Does that mean the psalmist is a fool because he has no pleasures? He has superior pleasures. He has pleasures the world knows nothing about. He's not a fool. He has chosen the pleasures that there are in knowing God, the pleasures that there are in being in his courts, the pleasures that there are in God's house. God's house is full of pleasures. The ungodly can't see it. They're blind to it. We are not fools in rejecting the pleasures of the world. We are wise because we have greater pleasures. We have better pleasures in Jesus Christ. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures, pleasures forevermore, everlasting and eternal pleasures. We have pleasure in God's house. We have pleasure in God's presence. Psalm 36 and the verses 8 and 9. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Oh, there's a fatness in God's house. There's satisfaction in God's house. There's abundant satisfaction in God's house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. There are pleasures in God's house. Not one or two, not a little stream of pleasures, but a river, a divine river of heavenly pleasures running through the house of God, and the people can drink therefrom. For with thee is a fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Yes, David is wise. The tents of wickedness, the pleasures of sin therein, have no sway for him. It's the pleasures of his God that he wants. It's the pleasures of God's court. Yes, one day of pleasure with God is better than a thousand years of pleasures in the tents of wickedness. And it is, brethren and sisters. And we know it. The pleasures of a good conscience. What a pleasure is that? The pleasure of seeing the Lord Jesus. What a pleasure is that? All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Give me but a sight of the beauty of the Lord Jesus, and my soul is ravished. All the delights in seeing Him in His book, the delights of seeing Christ in His house, all the ungodly know nothing of that pleasure. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, the pleasure of seeing Jesus. Why does the psalmist want to be in the house of God? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why, David, why would you dwell in the house of the Lord all your short day? To behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, the ungodly get pleasure in beholding certain things that appeal to the flesh. But the believer gets pleasure in beholding Jesus and His beauty. Oh, the pleasures of God's house. Yes, David, you have made a superior choice indeed. You have the pleasure of fellowship with the Lord, the pleasure of the blessed hope, the pleasure of it being for eternity. The pleasures of sin are but for a season. They enjoy it but for a moment, and it eats away at their pleasure, that they know it shall soon end in death. And that's a worm in their pleasure that takes away the joy of it. But the pleasures of seeing Jesus are pleasures that will never be taken from us. We shall enjoy them forever and ever. And seeing Jesus in His house now is but a foretaste that we shall see it and enjoy it forever and ever. It's a superior choice because of the superior pleasures enjoyed. It is superior also, as we've already hinted, because of the permanence. There is a play on the words, a doorkeeper in the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, tents are a temporary structure. Tents come down. Tents are to be removed. Tents are to be closed up and put away. But a house is a permanent structure. He's chosen something that will not be removed. He's chosen something that is stable, something that is permanent. And the foolish and ungodly, they have chosen tents. And it comes down. Yes, the Christian has chosen something that will last. Eternal life, the house of God. Psalm 23 puts it well. I will dwell in the house of the Lord evermore. A superior preference because of the permanence. But it's a superior preference also, brethren and sisters, that we have made when we have chosen the Lord and chosen His house instead of the pub, instead of the dens of iniquity. It is a superior preference because of the prosperity and blessing that we receive. Because in the house of God we are blessed. In the house of God we prosper. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun. Therefore I have His pleasures. The Lord God is a shield. Therefore I have His defense. The Lord God is a giver. Therefore I shall be blessed in receiving from Him. And what will He give me? The very thing that I need. What do I need? I need grace. Because I'm a sinner. And He gives me grace. And having given me grace, it is a foretaste of eternal glory. And He who has saved me by grace, and He who has given me His grace in the gospel, will also in time give me glory. Oh, the prosperity of being in God's house. What do the wicked get in the tents of wickedness? Oh, they get fame. Yes, they get fame. They get riches. They get material prosperity, perhaps. But they don't get grace. And they don't get glory. But we that are saved and love God's house, we do. We do. The Bible says, they shall prosper that love thee. The reference is to Jerusalem in Psalm 122 and the verse 6. They shall prosper that love thee. Verse 6, Psalm 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. But why should Jerusalem be loved? Verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Jerusalem's good is sought because of the house of God. Jerusalem is loved because of the house of God. Jerusalem's peace is to be prayed for because of the house of God that is in the midst. They shall prosper then that love God's house. David has made a good choice. He shall prosper. He shall prosper abundantly. How will he prosper? Well, we've already hinted at it in several manners there. But one of the ways he prospers is in becoming like the Saviour. Becoming like the Saviour. Where do you become like the Saviour, child of God? You know where you become like the Saviour? In his house. In his house. As you see Christ in his house, and as you see Christ in the Word of God preached and proclaimed, you prosper, because under those means of grace you become Christ-like. It's how you prosper. It's how you grow into the stature of the fullness of Christ, prospering under the ministry in his house. Oh, that's how we prosper. That's why David has made a good choice. That's why the courts of God are better than the tents of wickedness. In the tents of wickedness, he would become unchristlike. In the tents of wickedness, he would become more iniquitous. He would become more ungodly. He would become more distant to conformity to Christ. But in the house of the Lord, he would be changed into the image of that glorious Lord who he sees. Why does he want to behold the beauty of the Lord? Why does he want to behold the beauty of the Lord in his house? He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord for the pleasure of it, yes. But that's not the only reason. He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord, that the beauty of the Lord may come upon him, that the beauty of the Lord may become part of his character, that by beholding the beauty of the Lord in his word, he may be changed into the same image. So he's chosen God's house to become Christ-like. It's a good choice. Brethren and sisters, I trust that this word will be blessed to your heart, and that you will love God's house, and that you will attend God's house, and that you will always make it your choice above the tents of wickedness and of wicked men. There's a word of examination here, isn't there? Are you this man? Can you lift up your heart to the Lord and say these words as David did? There's a word of exhortation to love the house of God and to be found therein. There's a word of encouragement because you have made a good choice if you love God's house. I trust that I have established that to your conscience. You've made a good choice. You will prosper. You will prosper that love God's house. You will see Christ in his house who desire to see Christ in his house. You shall prosper. There's a word of encouragement for all that attend the house of God here. But there's also a word of entreaty. A word of entreaty for the sinner. A word of entreaty for the sinner who has no experience of this verse. For the sinner who cannot say these words, for the sinner who has never been at the threshold, who's never been at the humble place, who's never been at the footstool of Jesus Christ, who's never bowed the knee to the door, Christ the door, who's never entered into Him with true saving faith, who sees no beauty about the door. There's a word of entreaty here for you, sinner, who do not know the Lord, who cannot say the Lord is my Lord and my God. There's a word of entreaty here for you. It is this: flee from the tents of wickedness. Escape from the tents of wickedness. Remove your foot from the tent of wickedness and flee. Flee unto Christ the door, and get your entrance into His house. I would warn the sinner then, the sinner who prefers the tents of the pleasures of sin for a season, and has no love for the Lord and no love for the house of God, I would entreat you and beseech you to be reconciled to God. And I must warn you what will become of the tents of wickedness. You remember the story of Dathan and Abiram in the book of Numbers, chapter 16. In verse 25, Moses rose up and went on to Dathan and Abiram. The elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. The people fled from their tents, the tents of these wicked men. What happens to the tents of wickedness? What happens to the tents of wicked men? You see the end of the tents of wicked men in verse 31. It came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses. And all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit. Why did God do that? To show where all the tents of wicked men go, down into the pit. Fellow sinner, who has made your choice the dens of iniquity, I must solemnly beseech you to flee from those tents, to flee unto Christ the door, and take up a place at the threshold as a humble, repentant sinner, believing in Him. But if you do not, you shall have your place with Dathan and Abiram. Let us pray.